Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to Deadline Dilemmas ahead of Game Week 9 with Fantasy Football Scout. As always, with me, Rich, and I'm joined with Praz for the first time together in, what is it, 3 weeks, Praz?
3 weeks, man. And you remember the last time we were podding, you were saying it's so hot that you needed air conditioning?
Yep.
Now here we are, where it's so cold, where people are turning on their heating.
Yeah, what?
So it's been a long time. It's been seasons.
I'm trying to remember what my thermometer in the room said, because it says 21 right now, which is actually, we've got the heating up full blast as well.
Have you? We're still resisting on the heating. Until the clocks change, I have a thing where I'm not going to turn it on.
Well, I'm tight with money. It's not me, believe me, that's putting the heating on. I'd be wrapped in blankets right now if I could. But I enjoyed last week with you and Hibbo.
It's good.
Yeah, and we've obviously had a nice long international break with very few injuries.
Go on then. What can you tell us about your Vegas trip?
What's that safe for this? No, nothing too bad happened. One of my friends got married.
Obviously.
By Elvis. He sang nice. Three songs. The wedding was 8 minutes and it was good fun. It was well worth that like 10, 11 hour flight for a very short wedding.
Legendary. I'm sure there were some parties around that as well, but you can't disclose what happened.
I can't.
And
disclose.
As the saying goes, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Exactly. And the worst thing, I did mention it on Scoutcast, but the deadline obviously over there on the West Coast is, 3 a.m. And I was desperate to go to bed about 1, so I actually missed the deadline. But I now can feel what the Americans and, you know, people in Australia feel with those deadlines.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, over Christmas last year, and this will be the case this year as well for me, I'm in the East Coast, and it's tough, man. Those 11 o'clock Saturday deadlines, you have to, it'll be like 5 a.m. in the U.S. where you have to wake up and look for leaks, and, you know, it's just not nice. And I wish this didn't exist in the game, and it's tough for everyone.
Oh, it is. I mean, you live a more jet set lifestyle than I do, so you're probably a lot more used to it.
Not these hours. I mean, I'm usually in Europe or around Europe, but it's tougher. It's tougher if you're in Australia or the US for sure.
But yeah, but we've got a deadline coming up on Saturday at least. So I guess where should we start? Should we start on 1 week punts? Should we start on wildcards?
So what we'll do is we're at that stage in FPL where people are on different strategies, right? So I did a poll yesterday where I was just checking where people are, and I think 50 to 60% of people, I was surprised by this number, have already wildcarded. So what we'll spend, so because Rich and I haven't wildcarded, we're not going to spend our time on 1 week punts. We will spend some time, but let's first talk about the people who have already wildcarded. What are their dilemmas? Then we'll come to people like me who are wildcarding in game week 10, maybe Rich, who are wildcarding in game week 10. So what are the 1 week punts that they can look at? And then we'll spend some time on people who are not looking to wildcard anytime soon. And what would they be thinking about at the moment? So this would be basically the way we'd split it. If you want, just tune into the section that applies to you. But I would recommend listen to the whole thing, because even if you're not wildcarding, you want to hear what people are thinking about as they go into the wildcard, because you always want to benchmark to a team similar to other people's wildcard. So that was the thinking.
Yeah, no, it sounds good. And also, I'm going to need some of your advice as well, Praz, because I'm kind of, like you alluded to that, I'm kind of in the middle ground where I don't know when I'm wildcarding. I did manage to get an injury during the international break. So yeah, I'd maybe talk that out for a little bit as well. That would be really good from a selfish point of view.
Ultimately, this is the idea of this. I mean, I know people want to get out of it more stuff for their team as well. But the idea is that we always want to talk about our teams if there's something really bothering us. So we'll spend time on your team. What can you do this week? Do you need to wildcard this week, next week, or can you hold on? And yeah, definitely listen to that. Let's start with people who have wildcarded though. And the first thing I think that they're debating, and that's not for this week. I think people are very happy with their double Spurs mids this week. But then they're thinking that Spurs' fixtures are getting tougher after next week. Spurs isn't decent hold anyway. They're going to play once a week. But then you can also spin the narrative the other way and say, you know, Son is actually coming off on the 70th minute. Every game he looks to be struggling. am I going to captain him while he's struggling like this? There's no fixture where I'm looking to captain him until maybe Villa in game week 13, 14. So question to you, what are your thoughts on people thinking about selling potentially either Son or Madison or even both to get to a Saka, Mitoma, a Bowen next week?
I mean, I'm probably quite, because I haven't gone heavily on Spurs at all. I've only gone for Son myself because I kind of feel like the window's been missed. As in, I'd envy your position because obviously you've personally got three Spurs in. You're then going to wildcard out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would rate Saka so much higher than the Madison, definitely, after this week, of course, and probably on par or slightly ahead of Son. And he is less, isn't he, Saka? Saka's like lower price than Son.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a million now.
Yeah.
He's a million less.
That's a huge difference. So, yeah, I would have no problem with someone doing it. Yeah, I'd be coming off. I mean, I'd be happy, you know, if I had Porro, for example, or a Doggy. They're a great rotation player. Like you can,
as in you can keep them.
Exactly. I know we're not talking about wild cards. I don't think I'd bring one in on a wild card. I don't think I'd bring one in this week, if I didn't have my wild card to get them out. But yeah, I would have no problem holding them. They're just kind of not meh. But you know, incredible fixture this week. Then it's just like, okay, you just roll them out. It reminds me of a Botman kind of style player.
Yeah, fair enough. I think so. Although not so hot on Spurs' defense. I mean, I think even against Luton, yes, it was 10 men, but, you know, Luton had fair chances. They even scored that disallowed goal. So it wasn't like, you know, it's a rock solid defense. But then you get upside, right? You get upside with the defenders. Both Udogie and Porro are good holds. But I'm with you. Look, I think Madison to Saka, there's no comparison. I think I would compare Madison with a Martinelli if you're looking at a sideways move. And then you would compare a Son to a Saka. In an ideal world, you have Son and you have Saka and you have Salah and you have Haaland, but not a lot of wildcard, you know, teams that have wildcarded are in that position because they may even have a Trippier or their funds would be a little bit more spread out. So it's a tricky one. And I think a lot of people might come to the conclusion that, look, Son is the one that needs to make way for Saka. Or they might have a view that I'm just going to hold off on Saka because Saka has Sheffield United in 10, but then he also plays Newcastle in away in 11. So it's not, you don't have to go for a Saka if you don't need to. So it's a dilemma. And I think we'll talk about this next week when people will be in that position. And we wanted to spend some time on these guys because I think you guys who have wildcarded, you are pretty much rolling this week. So you don't really have many dilemmas. Wait another week, see what happens. But it's good to talk about it because these things are in your mind. I think another dilemma that these people will have is people who have Trippier, who have wildcarded already. Obviously, they did well to have Trippier. But next week, from game week 10, again, they have Wolves, which is okay. But after that, the easier fixtures are away and the tougher fixtures are at home. Would you hold Trippier or not?
See, this is the tough one. And I think in this game, sometimes you can build an attachment as well that you need to forget about because obviously, bought Trippier, he's done incredible, you know, ever since I bought him. I would want something to do with the money. I mean, if I could sell Trippier, let's say I'd wildcarded, I could sell Trippier. For some reason, I don't have Salah yet, and I can get Salah in, even for a hit, and that removing Trippier enables it. Yeah, I probably almost certainly would, because I think Salah's got this window now. And we talked about the window with Trippier, Botman, all of that lot, didn't we, a few weeks ago? I mean, all in that lead up to, what was it, game week 5, game week 6, when we were looking at them?
Yeah, 6.
Yeah, so... And I mean, there could be this move to Tsimikas, not to jump ahead too much, but you know, you could free up a lot of money. So I don't hate it. In an ideal world, like you said, with the midfielders, I'd happily have Trippier, I'd happily have Trent, but it's the money.
Yeah,
because he's also such an annoying price because you can't go straight from him to Trent because there's a big gap, and obviously you'll be using more money. Robertson's now been eliminated because he's probably the only player in the same kind of bracket you might consider, you know, with these incredible fixtures.
Nice try, but
no. Yeah, I know.
I'm joking.
Well, even Van Dijk, for example, I wouldn't do Trippier to Van Dijk. It's not freeing up enough money. Maybe I would, but no, I don't think I would.
I mean, this is the thing with Trippier. A lot of people look at wildcard teams or non-wildcard teams and they see them thinking about selling Trippier. He's a great player. I mean, he's the best defender in the game and he was in game week 1 as well, but not everybody started with him for the same reason where you have to balance out the times when you want Trippier. You have to try to catch the hauls. And there is a school of thought that after Crystal Palace at home, which is an amazing fixture this week, maybe you can and where Arsenal have good fixtures, Liverpool have good fixtures, City are always are decent. So if you're holding Haaland, you hold Haaland. And then you have Watkins as well, who's now the second highest or the second most expensive forward in the game. Just can't have everyone. So you have to make a sacrifice somewhere. And if your sacrifice is a Watkins and you go for a cheap Solanke, fine, keep Trippier if you want. But I think it's also okay to think about selling Trippier if you need to fund a big hitter midfielder who you may even think of captaining or has huge upside, and maybe that same upside doesn't exist with Trippier in the next 5 or 6 game weeks. I think after game week 16, 17, people will again be thinking about Trippier.
I think that's a good point you make about other teams and the fixtures they've got, because, I mean, I guess something that happened when the Newcastle fixtures turned those weeks ago, there wasn't really any other defences or teams to target. And now we've got, like, Arsenal. I mean, we were even on Scoutcast, we were looking at the Villa fixtures for someone like Cash, for example. And you look at those, but then the Arsenal fixtures, you know, are just as good. Well, they're probably better because Arsenal are a better team.
Yeah.
So I guess it's relative to other positions as well. But it would be a really reluctant sell, and I'd want a clear, like, plan what I'm doing with the money. I wouldn't just sell Trippier for the sake of it.
Yeah.
But maybe someone's got Morris and they can get Morris up to Watkins, for example. Although I wouldn't do that for a hit. And I certainly wouldn't sell Trippier this week. You could build a whole narrative around...
Oh, yeah, we're not
around...
talking about selling him this week. I mean, he's probably the 5th, 6th best pick in the game this week because, you know, Crystal Palace looked pretty toothless without Eze. Obviously, they can score, but Newcastle are at home. Trippier should get a lot of set pieces. You know, his assist threat is always there. He needs to sort of just get one thing, either it's clean sheet or an attacking return, to be in the bonus. I think it's a good, very, very good game. I mean, if you're on a free hit, you'd 100% have Trippier this week.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. And Trent, I guess, as well. But I suppose, yeah, next week, that's when they're going to probably roll. And then we're going to have that probably this whole discussion again about selling Trippier.
Correct.
And who for. I wonder if it's even worth moving Trippier to Botman or Cher. Or do you think the bad fixtures still apply there and you'd rather go to Gabriel or Zinchenko?
I think you have now enough cheap defenders in the game. We haven't talked about Tsimikas. We'll talk about him in a second.
Yep.
But you have double Arsenal, even triple. You have Saliba, you have Zinchenko, you have Gabriel, all under 5.2 million. Saliba might even drop this week. I hope he doesn't. I need his sale value. But you have three of those guys under 5.2. You have Cash still at 5.1. Cash is still good value at 5.5. I mean, if he goes up. So I don't think that's a problem for his attacking threat for a short period of time. I don't think Cash is a season keeper, but for a short period of time, good. While he plays Luton, Nottingham Forest and Fulham. Then you have Estupinan if he's back fit. Again, around 5.1, 5.2. You have Tsimikas. You have Gehi. You know, the Crystal Palace guys. I think you don't have to have a Newcastle defender. But if you have them, again, second or third best defence in the league. So there's never a problem having a Newcastle defender.
No. And who would be your pick if you had to bring... Let's say you've still got Estupinan or something and you've already wildcard. Again, I don't know if that's possible. I mean, I suppose someone could have wildcarded earlier.
Yeah.
Like, what defender would you target for the longer term? Because you obviously mentioned Cash there. Obviously, his fixture this week's not incredible. West Ham at home, it's okay. Then you've got the three incredible ones, and then it does really turn. So who would you go for the long-term pick? Because it's almost too early for Arsenal as well.
If you were wildcarding this week, you're saying?
No, so if you just were using a free transfer this week and you've already wildcarded.
I mean, I would not... If you had to get one, I would just get an Arsenal defender now. I mean, if you don't have one, it's Chelsea, it's fine. Because I know that you definitely want at least one Arsenal defender going forward. So if you don't have any Arsenal, I guess you could also go Tsimikas. I think it's a good question. And I think this is, you know, we could talk about him now. Robertson's out. And I think we don't know yet. These things, sometimes people say 10 weeks and it turns out 4 weeks. Because I think the 10 weeks assumption is that he needs surgery, I think. And the 4 or 5 weeks one is that it's just a dislocation and it, you know, is popped back in and then he's ready for action in 4 or 5 weeks. I'm not a medical expert, but that's what I'm reading. So if it's 4 or 5 weeks, then maybe Tsimikas you don't have to go for. And I will, you know, we will evaluate this in game week 10 if we have to. I also want to see, there's these rumors that Liverpool might play a Gomez or, you know, an Endo or somebody like that who plays almost like a, you know, like a centre back, and Trent can completely invert. Every fan that I've spoken to, every sort of fan that is active on Twitter, is of the opinion that Tsimikas will start. And so I think Tsimikas will start. So if you wanted to punt this week, it's a little risky, because if he doesn't start Everton, suddenly now you have a problem. But I would personally like to wait. But if he starts this week, and if he doesn't start Europa League, I think Tsimikas is fantastic.
The one thing that worries me with him is, obviously we might find out that he starts, but for long term, I could see him ending up being like a Rico Lewis or that kind of player again, where you think he's got this big upside, but will he start? He obviously has a much clearer route to the first team than someone like Rico Lewis.
Somebody did a thread on Twitter today. 15 games Robertson has missed in the last 3 years. Tsimikas has started 15 of those games. He was taken off on the 59th minute, 58th minute on two of them. But he's there for a reason. He's there as a backup. And I would think the assumption should be that he starts, not that maybe he doesn't. It's different from Rico Lewis. Rico Lewis had like two people above him, and it turned out that we heard he starts. But then when John Stones went out, you thought, okay, maybe Walker goes out and then Rico becomes a little bit more of a permanent. This guy's always been the guy. And
was it before? Because obviously they've been playing a different formation this season, where Robertson has been tucking in, you know, as a left centre back. Obviously, what gave him value was, well, set pieces.
Yeah.
So can Tsimikas be trusted in the same role, or could Klopp, you know, change things up if they lose against Everton or something?
Fair. I mean, this is why I wouldn't advise getting Tsimikas this week necessarily, unless even with the leak, it's dangerous, because like you said, maybe he doesn't start the next game. I would personally, if I'm wildcarding in 10 or if I'm buying him in 10, and this is where most people are, I think, because people are saving this week. So even the non-wildcarders will get another week to evaluate. I think wait a week. If he starts against Everton, you go there. But I would say he shouldn't be a third defender. He should probably be a fourth rotating defender where he starts. But if you end up in a position where he's suddenly benched for two games, you don't have to transfer him out. You can live with it for a couple of weeks because you have a Gehi or a Botman or a Colwill, somebody who you can at least play, and it's not an emergency transfer.
And I guess if he blocks a spot, he's blocking a Liverpool spot, and Liverpool players are expensive, aren't they? Like generally they're expensive, so it's probably not the worst position to block. I also wanted to touch on, because obviously some of Robertson's value, well, like I said, was set pieces. So does that then boost Trent or Szoboszlai? Or, you know, it'd be interesting to see where those corners go in particular, because he was at the start of the season taking them at both corners as well.
So Tsimikas does take set pieces, but I think you're right that maybe he doesn't bomb forward as much. Maybe Robertson he trusts more, and sort of Klopp says, Tsimikas, you be a little bit more constrained than you usually are because we're playing a different setup now. Could be possible. And I think, one to monitor. I think Szoboszlai is interesting, and Trent is very interesting if he's taking more set pieces. But we were talking about Trent earlier, where I just find it difficult because Szoboszlai is taking a lot of direct free kicks and he's good at it. He's also, I don't want to say not getting as further forward, because he's always got that diagonal pass in him to make that assist, like he did for England against Australia. I mean, he didn't get the assist, but he passed to Grealish, who passed to Watkins. And so he's got that. But again, it comes down to price, man. I mean, if I'm getting Trent, then I'm not getting Saka or Son or Watkins. I just need them. So I just think Tsimikas is right there. Just punt it. I mean, it's overthinking, I think, if you go for a Trent instead of a Tsimikas, of course it can pay off. But I think it's worth it.
Yeah, I suppose if Tsimikas continues to, let's say he starts and then he continues to start and you're sat there with Trent, I think it's going to be very hard to get value out of Trent over Tsimikas, because you're going to have Trent, you know, hauling considerably over Tsimikas to make that worthwhile. But
or playing the minutes and Tsimikas gets 55 minutes some games or something like that.
Well,
which is possible.
That's the other thing. Will he play, even if he starts, will he play the full game? But it's enticing. I can see it's really, really enticing. But
it's also easier games, right, Rich? I mean, it's not like they have difficult games in this period. Like, they have no difficult games for the foreseeable future.
No.
So do you really need a controlling third centre-back when you'll have all the ball, all the possession?
That's true. And we've seen before, we've seen it this season, Liverpool about mid-table for XG conceded. But I guess something on that is they've had quite tough games, and they've played with, like, men down. Like, not just one man down. They've played a game, you know, with two men sent off.
Yeah, three times so far.
So there is also that. So I feel like their defence is actually quite good. And I've seen, you know, a lot of people who keep models together have Liverpool very high for defensive data. So
I think Liverpool clean sheets are coming and people will be surprised. I mean, it's just the fixtures. People look at Everton's data, right? And they say first 8 game weeks, Everton's defensive data has been incredible. Well, they had bloody good fixtures.
Yep.
So yeah, they had good data. So I think Liverpool's will be the same. I think they'll have next 8 game weeks, they'll have one of the best defensive datas, because that's just how it is when you keep 70% of the ball.
Well, Everton have had good attacking data as well. So both ends of the pitch because of that. But yeah.
So, yeah, and I think I see in the chat, Reguilon is another shout Danny's made. I agree. I think for Man United, 4.4, he's back fit. I think he's going to start this weekend. I mean, I don't even want to say blessed, but there's so many enticing attacking defenders at the moment that it just makes it very tempting to go for a Cash, a Gabriel, Reguilon, Simicas, and then maybe add a fifth one like a Gehi or... You know, even a Pau Torres.
Would you
so
prefer
many options.
Reguilon to Dalot, for example?
It's price. 0.5 is a lot.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Dalot's definitely better, both for bonus and for attacking potential. Now, actually, Reguilon is also attacking, but for nailedness, because if Casemiro's back, Amrabat can play left back, even though it's not good if he does that, but he can. So it's just better. And Reguilon is very injury prone as well. So I wouldn't recommend it, but if he's fit, you know, Man United actually have very good fixtures after Man City. So I know people get triggered if we talk about Man United too much, but he's 4.4. It's not like you're getting a Bruno instead of a Madison or a Rashford instead of a Son. You're just basically getting a fifth defender who has good fixtures 11, 12, 13.
Surely this is the week we can safely talk about Man United, because obviously Sheffield United away. Sheffield United as well have got loads of injuries. Like, so not only have they been bad, but they've got a lot of injuries, like probably more than most
teams.
This
is the week. Good transition to your team. Let's now go to people. So we've talked about people who have wildcarded. So let's talk about now people who are looking to wildcard now or anytime soon. So let's get to your team and talk about your Man United. Well, you've got Bruno. Oh, I thought you had two. Oh, yes. So you sold Rashford for Son.
Yeah, I've only got Bruno in my team.
Okay.
And I realise my team does look a little different to others. I mean, to be honest, I don't think it's that different. I just think, obviously, my defenders are a bit weird. I think everything else is quite normal.
Well, this is the story of... If you followed Flapjack for a while, you know that his defenders are generally a bit weird. But that's how he plays and you're doing well.
Yeah, it's starting to catch up with me now. And the defenders we've just been talking about, they're obviously all going to be popular players to bring in. And I think they're all really good options. I just wonder if Robertson being injured is like a blessing in disguise for me, because obviously I've got Robertson, Trippier, Walker, then Lewis in Estupinan. So I've only got two fit starters. I've got Rico Lewis, who, to be honest, it looks like he's not going to play, because you've got Rodri back, for example.
Mm.
So I was quite bold earlier in the week and I had Lewis in my team, and then I've become quite aware it's probably a very unlikely start. So obviously being able to sell Robertson... Say I did Robertson to Simicas, that would clear up like 2 million to spend. Do I then see that as a blessing that I've managed to, you know, get Robertson for cheaper, but then everyone else has jumped on as well?
Yeah. But what, first, let's step back. You are happy with your front seven? Because, you know, obviously you've got Morris, who's okay, who's fine. But, you know, if you look at clean sheet odds, you know, Forrest are up there. So he's not expected to do amazingly. You got Sterling, who's Arsenal at home. Again, he's fine. Are you at all firstly tempted to wildcard this week, or were you tempted to wildcard this
week? So part of the reason it looks weird is my original plan was like a 4-5-1/3-5-2. And obviously all the defenders have just, it's destroyed that idea.
Right.
I did look at a couple of wildcards and I just didn't like it. I didn't know how many Spurs to go for. I mean, at the moment, to be honest, I've only got one. I didn't really know what goalkeeper to look at. It was the same reason I didn't actually go last week, because I quite liked having Pickford.
Mm.
I'm quite happy with Turner at home to Luton, even though I've then got Morris. So no, I'm not. I want to go quite heavily on Liverpool when I do wildcard.
It's true.
I don't know if Darwin's going to start. I mean, maybe some Liverpool news on, you know, Saturday morning could push me to it, because, you know, I could triple up on Liverpool somehow.
10 o'clock wildcard.
Well, yeah, and I'm doing the deadline stream as well. So it's probably not
I'm definitely
the best
tuning
idea.
Into that if you're wildcarding. But okay, look, I agree with you. And this was the reason why wildcard either made sense in 8 or now in 10, because this week you will be in that dilemma. Like, you'll have to sell Trippier. like at home to Crystal Palace, you have him, you'll have to sell him, or you may want to sell him, and then get a Bowen who's away to Villa. It just doesn't make as much sense this week to wildcard, and then you get one more week of info. So let's now work towards this. Second question, would you look to wildcard next week, or do you want to delay it longer?
So I was thinking absolutely not on Monday, Tuesday. I think I'm getting a bit of FOMO. I'm starting to look at players people are looking at, and I'm starting to think, yes. But the only reason I'd do it is because I really want Salah. Because the Arsenal fixture's gone, I'm kind of down now on selling Haaland for a hit to get Salah, which probably wasn't the best idea anyway. I also need to fix quite a lot of defenders. And I started looking at, if I do Robertson out to Tsimikas, I've got 2 million. I still don't have enough to get Son or Bruno up to Salah.
Yeah.
Then I need to free up more money, so I might sell Trippier. Then I do have the money, but then I've still got Morris in my team, and I've still got Estupinan, I've still got Lewis. My goalkeeper rotation's bad, so
I don't want to. I think you should wildcard next week.
There's
part
of me, just to give the counterpoint to it, there's part of me that thinks if I just fix these defenders over the next, you know, 2 or 3 weeks and ignore Salah, I probably can fix it.
But it's not just the defenders. Look at your front eight, or ignore Archer, front seven.
Yep.
When I will wildcard next week, I will only have Haaland, maybe Son, out of that seven. So it's fine. I mean, all these... Okay, actually, I have Saka as well. Yeah, okay. So three. But my point is, Sterling is okay, but his fixtures are terrible. Mbeumo is okay, but, you know, we've seen what Brentford are doing. I know Review likes him, and, you know, Mbeumo is still popular. But, you know, Bruno plays Man City next week. So I'm almost thinking, you're not going to have the Villa guys that, you know, the field will have. Again, you may say, I don't care, Villa is only good for 3 weeks, but you have no Villa here. You could get a cash maybe for Robertson, but no Villa attackers. You have no Bowen. You have no Mitoma if you wanted next week. So as in, there's many players, and you have no Watkins. So there's many players that you could think of getting, and you are not only fixing the issues in defense, you're also not catching up with people if you wanted to go there. So it's a question to you. How much do you value Villa and Mitomas and Bowens of this world?
I think that's the thing, because I think I've been happy to ignore Spurs, and I've got quite lucky that I've only had one Spurs, and that was only very, very recently that I got Son in. So I think if I avoided wildcard, yeah, I'd have to ignore Villa to start with, because I'd start targeting Arsenal, not this week. I'd probably bring in Tsimikas this week, or Porro potentially. But then I'd have to start targeting, yeah, the Arsenal defenders, unless Estupinian's back. Then if Estupinian was suddenly back, I've got Saka and Estupinian, which a lot of other people don't have. So then I'm kind of...
If Estupinian is fit, but we don't know that. I mean, he could take another 2 weeks.
No, he could. And I'm going to assume he's probably going to be a little while, and he's a bit of a rotation risk. But I guess there is the counterpoint that I do have players that other people might want. I mean, it's only two players. And in the meantime, I'll still have Trippier, for example. But yeah. I am leaning a lot more towards wildcard in game week 10. There's just this allure of, if I can just keep it, you know, for the blank in 18. Because I feel like if I wildcard next week, I then feel like after just a couple of weeks, I'm going to be thinking about the blank. As in, that's going to be in all of our thinking. You know, game week 12, 13, the nearer and nearer it gets.
Yeah, but the blank for me, I'm not too worried, because I'll have just Haaland from City in my wildcard, and I won't have any Brentford. So I'm going to be planning to bench Haaland. You know, if I have the luxury at the time that I have, you know, two free transfers and I have nothing to do with them, then yeah, Haaland will go and become Watkins or Isak, because they have great fixtures in game week 18. Or 2 weeks into it, if I see that this team is doing perfectly fine and I don't want to change much, I could even think about free hit in game week 18. So I think what I mean is, there's enough things to worry about than not. I mean, holding the wildcard just for the blank to me is not a good enough reason.
No, I suppose it's the double as well, because I would like to be somehow in that double with, you know, a lot of Brentford players, well, at least two Brentford players, and then obviously three Man City. But then I get what you're saying, because I guess people could just do, I could just do a big hit if I don't have a wild card.
Everyone will have three Man City, I can assure you, because people will bench Haaland, and then you have 2 weeks till the double, because 18 to 20. Everybody will plan to have double City, unless there's like a injury crisis But even if you have in defense, if you have an injury crisis, you get Diaz. If you have in midfield, you get a Foden or a De Bruyne if he's fit by then. Because people will have Salah money floating around after game week 19 because he's off to AFCON. So getting anybody is not really a problem after the blank. I think it's more about the if you're okay now, then you're getting ahead of the curve if things don't work out. You know, like if Villa completely bomb the next 3 weeks, you have an advantage because Mbeumo is still a good player. Bruno has great fixtures and everybody else has lost faith. There is that upside, I get it. But I also think logically there's a lot that you could give up as well if you don't wildcard.
Yeah, I just feel like, I mean, I don't hate the team as much as, you know, you look at it and it's a little different. And I get what you're saying about, yeah, Sterling does have really bad fixtures. If I was going to have a Chelsea player now, it would almost certainly be Palmer. And I could probably try and, you know, hide him as a first sub, you know, several weeks as well. So, yeah, I'm leaning more towards it. I'm on, like, probably pushing towards 50-50 right now.
Okay. Well, this will determine your transfer because if it's 1 week punt, then for me, then Robertson to share or Poro is your punt because that's the best fixture on paper. Poro maybe more so, but then...
See, I think either way, I'm going to have to do it. Well, I'm definitely going to have to do a defender transfer. And I think holding Estupiñán regardless is going to be okay because obviously if we get news after this week he's fit and then I'm decided not to wildcard, I've got a Brighton player.
Yeah.
So yeah, Robertson's almost certainly going to go, and then it's just a case of who, like you say. I mean, I guess Tsimikas would be more tempting as a 1 week pump because I could just wildcard out of it if he doesn't play well or if he gets injured. Although to be honest, I couldn't see a world where I don't actually have him. I think I'd have him as my fifth defender if I was on wildcard next week, though. I think that's I know you said about having him as fourth, for example.
Yeah.
I think I'd almost want him as my fifth because I feel like, to mention Rico Lewis again, I've seen what it's like having a defender you can't trust.
You'll trust Tsimikas, man. Believe in the Greek god. I mean, I get it. I think seeing him every week, even if he's your fifth defender, there'll be no fixture in the next 5-6 weeks where you'll, except for the Man City one, where you'll say, I don't want to play him unless he gets two benchings and then people will look to sell him anyway. So I don't know. I'm a little bit more optimistic on it, but that's where you are. So another defensive transfer for you.
Yeah, I think when I do it, it's going to be 5 out of 8 that I've done. So yeah, it's not very exciting, I guess that's another reason I could wildcard just so I can freshen things up a bit because my structure is strange. To say the least. But should we go
to be honest, the season that we're having, that all the defensive all the injuries are coming in defense, like the big ones, you know, James, Shaw, Roberts. I can think of so many defenders that Estupiñán that we've lost because of just random injuries and it's important high-owned defenders.
Yeah, and poor Reece James. I've just put on screen the 1 week punt graphic that 11 of 5 put together. I think if we just look at that quickly and then we'll go to your team and then...
Yeah, so this will apply to a lot of people and what I'm looking at, if you're wildcarding in game week 10, I think the first thing to say is if you're looking for a 1 week punt, you have to think about your weakest spot. So in your case, it's Robertson. In my case, it's probably Sterling. We'll come to my team. So then you start from there. And for me, the best fixture on this, if you look at 11FI's chart, the team that's expected to score the most goals is Liverpool. So if you can nail down, if you get a leak, you know who's starting. I think Jota should start, to be honest. He got two sub appearances over the break. He was in Europe, so in the same time zone. If he's starting up top, he's a go, I think. If you can get to him, then I think the next one is Man City 2.5. But then after Haaland, you don't really know who's starting. And then Brighton is decent. So for goals, I think you have Spurs, Man City, Liverpool as the teams that you can get to. But these are also expensive teams. So not many people have money lying around to get to these guys. What next is the question in terms of teams who are looking, you know, are expected to score goals. So you have Newcastle, 1.9. You have Arsenal, 1.5. Sorry, Man United, 1.9. And then you have Brentford, 1.7, which is expected goals. And that's about it. After that, everybody's in the 1.5-ish category. And then it comes down to the player within the team, not the team itself.
Yeah, it's scary seeing Liverpool that high as a non-salary for owner like you are yourself. I like the Jota show, actually. Is that someone you're thinking of? I know we haven't got to your team yet. Is that someone
I can't get to him. I'm 0.2 short. So I have 7.4. I think Jota is 7.6. I would have gone to Jota for sure. I think I will look at Gibbs-White as the guy in that price bracket. Or I'm looking at Gordon as well, if he's starting. But Gibbs-White has just set pieces, penalties. I just think Luton at home, you just chance it, right? Because when you have more possession against a team like Luton, you get more free kicks. You get more, you know, a chance of a penalty because you're in the box a lot more. So I like that as a one-week punt for myself. But I think Gordon is good. Even people are looking at a Hwang from Wolves in that midfield bracket. And then if you don't have Mbumo, I think it's a good week, even though if you don't have faith in him, I think it's a good week to have him. Man United mids, I think, are amazing for this week, if you can get to them, but they're expensive. And Højlund up front, if people hear news that Alvarez isn't starting or Darwin isn't starting, a one-week punt for Højlund is actually pretty good as well.
Yeah, I like that a lot, actually. It just shows how much everything hinges on Liverpool, and if we get any news, doesn't it, on Saturday morning or even on Friday night. Because like you say, Højlund would be a great punt, but then if you know Darwin's going to start, you're not going to go for Højlund over Darwin.
Correct.
Even though we know Darwin, generally, he's not going to get 90 minutes, is he? But with Liverpool at 2.6 goals as well. I mean, I'm quite envious because there are a lot of good punts this week. I like the Gibbs-White one that you mentioned, being able to get, you know, that cheap penalty taker. And that looks a lot of fun. But me personally and a lot of others are having to look at, yeah, defensive transfers. And then I guess you look at the clean sheet odds. And actually what surprised me here is I think it was Newcastle were top on 48% chance of a clean sheet. So that could be a punt as well, couldn't it, to go for Cher?
This is why I said, I think Cher or Porro are the two best after Trippier this week, I think.
Do you think over a Man United defender? I've seen a lot of models do like, you know, Man United, Dalot in particular.
Yep, over Dalot. Simply because it's an away game, Casemiro's out, even though Amrabat will play. So it's not as big of a loss. But we just have a lot of problems. I mean, Varane is not fit. Martinez is not fit. So you could have, you know, Maguire play there. Shaw is not there. So Reguilon might play there. They're all okay. But I don't trust our defense. I mean, I would definitely trust over Dalot, a Porro or a Cher.
Okay. I'm surprised as well how high Man City are here. Because I know obviously they're the best defense in the league. That's clear. But 42% against Brighton. And I know it's at the, you know, they're at home. But still, that seems high to me.
This is the difference between a team strength model and what Rob T does, which is the market odds, right? So I'm pretty sure the market odds for Man City clean sheet will be lower because people think, you know, Brighton are a good team. But I think when you look at team strength, you look at underlying data, you look at possession, you look at all the good stuff that City will have more of the ball. But yeah, I agree with you. I have Diaz, you have Walker. I'm not too optimistic on a clean sheet.
No, nor am I. And I don't want to be refreshing pages to see if Rico Lewis starts so I can start double City defence because of this.
Why not? But that'll allow you a midfield punt if he does.
Yeah, I mean, it would. Yeah, all on the F5 on Saturday morning. Do you think we've covered most of the punts before we go to your team? I mean, I know obviously there's a lot, but it just seems to be dominated by Liverpool.
You could go Bowen. I mean, I could go Bowen, but he's away to Villa. I don't love it. You could go Diaby. So there are a lot of between 6 to 8 million punts in the game. And it's 1 week variance, man. I mean, anyone could do well. And it's one of those weeks where I've talked about all these guys. Two of these guys will get a 10-15 pointer. Two of them will blank and two will just get 5 points. But no, there's no way to know which one. It is what it is.
It's so true. It's so true. And I like the Bowen one, actually, for someone who's not looking at a wild card. It's not a one-week punt. That could be one just good for you know, many weeks to come. It's one FPL mode went for that I'm actually really jealous of.
He's gone for Bowen, is it?
He's got Bowen. Yeah, he went last week and got Bowen. That's another thing that tempts me with the game week 10 wildcard as well. Just being able to copy mode and get Bowen.
And you know what he's thinking next week? He's selling Son and Madison for Mitoma and Saka. I think that's what he posted on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw that. I really like that. That's really taking that, because I think a lot of people, like I said about being attached to Trippier, I guess Madison's another one you could be quite attached to if you've owned him since game week one and he's not done anything wrong. But yeah, being able to be harsh and just get rid of these players when the fixtures turn.
Indeed.
I think it's the way to go. But
agreed.
If I load up your team, Praz.
Mine is actually pretty straightforward. So I'm going to read it out. I have got Turner in goal as well, like yourself. I've got Ruben Dias in defense and Trippier and Pedro Porro. So I'm happy with Trippier and Porro. I think great week for both of them. Then Madison and Son, very, very happy with them. Rashford, we talked about. I think I'm hopeful that Sheffield United away brings some joy. Mbeumo, I'm happy with this week. Probably the last week that I have all five of these guys. Maybe I'll keep Son, but I won't have these guys. But Sterling will become Gibbs White or Gordon or Bowen or Diaby or all the others that I talked about. And then Alvarez and Haaland. I'm not really worried about Alvarez starting, but we'll see. I can also go Alvarez to Hoyland if there's, you know, if Pep says tomorrow Alvarez isn't ready. Although given it's Brighton, I do expect Alvarez to start because you need that pressing from the top, which, you know, Haaland doesn't do as well as Alvarez does, and you need that. So I think he'll start. So yeah, it's quite straightforward, actually, Sterling to any of those guys.
I'm quite envious. I mean, you obviously pre-planned this for many weeks, as you do. You know, this team looks good this week, and then you wild card. Can I just ask, though, like, I mean, you said to me, would I be tempted to wild card in 10? Is there a route where you could avoid wildcarding, or is there just no interest at all? I mean, you could do the Son of Madison to Matoma move that you talked about a second ago, Matoma and Saka.
I could do that, but look, here's the thing. Of this team that you see on this page, I will have only Archer and Haaland for sure. That's it.
So not even, in my game week 10. Keep Rashford?
No. So in my game week 10 wildcard, so if I fundamentally believe that I will be, and maybe Son is a maybe because that will be a decision that wildcarders will need to make next week. I'm talking 3 players out of 12, 15. So I'm changing 12 players, and they're legitimate players because of a fixture swing or because of, you know, me just wanting a Salah, for example. I just think it's the right time. And honestly speaking, we should not think about the wildcard as, does your team need it? Because when you will think about, or if maybe not you, let's take somebody else who's looking to wildcard in 18, a lot of players will say, look, I can get to this team as well. I mean, there's no rocket science here. Yes, your team will have maybe 5 players from City and Brentford, but others will turn around and say, I've got 3 City. You've got 2 extra Brentford who are playing City for the double. I don't need that. I'm happy with my other guys who are also performing. So I just don't think there'll be any point in the season where, as engaged managers, our team will come to a stage where there's 7 players that you don't like. So you have to play the fixture swing a little bit more. So, yeah, I think this team is ready for a wildcard. I don't think it needs it. But my strategy in the wildcard will be to get the most expensive players, basically collect my funds, get Salah, get Haaland, get Son, get Saka, get Watkins. If I get all these 5, these are the most expensive players in attack. Get all these value defenders, which we have a lot in the 4 to 5 million price bracket, and then take it from there because all these guys have good fixtures. And then if Salah is not great after game week 16, sell him. If Son is still injury prone, sell him for whoever you want because the money is there, it's collected. I can then get to who I want. At least that's the thinking. But I do get other people who can get to Salah a little bit easier to say, look, I'm going to hold off. And that's also okay.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think you were going to change your mind. From me saying that, but I look at your team, and I mean, to be honest, your defenders look really good. Because let's say you didn't have a wild card, you could do like Ruben Dias or Porro to an Arsenal defender,
or an Estupinian, or Cash,
exactly. And then you've got the cheap Kabore defender. You know, people have now got Charlie Taylor, for example, on wild card. But I mean, it's the same thing, isn't it? Just slightly, the fixtures aren't as good. You'd hope to never play them. But yeah, it's a good point you make. And yeah, I guess anytime you wildcard, you're going to have people that say, oh, I've got this team and I've just done a -4. I guess that's always going to happen.
It's true. And look, yeah. I'll turn it around. I'll say it another way. You know who's the bottom of the fixture ticker from game week 10 to 18? It's Luton. So Luton being bottom of the fixture ticker means that they are playing the big teams.
Yeah.
So you want to wildcard and make sure you are targeting a Luton and a Sheffield United and a Burnley as optimally as possible over the next 6 to 8 weeks. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm going to have Saka when he plays Sheffield United. I don't know how I'll get to him here. I want to have basically Salah when he plays Luton later. I want to have Watkins when he plays Luton later. So these are the things that make me think that these fixtures are just so good. Get these players and then figure out the 18 and beyond later, because I'm less worried about the blank as things stand now.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It makes sense. It's just a frustrating thing with teams like Luton and Sheffield United, because it feels like it's very hard to triple up against these teams because you don't have enough time or enough transfers to properly attack them. It's just a weird season. It feels very different to previous ones.
Yeah, it's true. I think it's a function of having 9-10 good teams, great teams, very, and I include Brighton, West Ham, Villa in that, in addition to the 7 good teams that we know. And then you have 6 bad teams. So we have a little bit, you know, a big disparity where suddenly you have players that you don't have are playing these teams. And then you're just wishing that Madison doesn't do well against Sheffield United or Saka doesn't do well against Luton. And that's just the season.
No, it is. But I think that's us done then, the Praz. Unless you've got anything else we want to discuss.
I think we're done. We've got longer than usual, right?
Yeah, we have a little bit, actually.
Yeah. And my kids just came from the other room and said, can you keep it quiet? So I think I should go quiet.
Actually, I saw you looking right. I didn't realise that. All right. Well, I guess we're head off then. But yeah, deadline's what, 11 a.m.? I should know this. 11 a.m. on Saturday, UK time.
Indeed. Good luck to everyone. I think most people are looking to hold, but watch out for the press conferences. There can be some googlies thrown tomorrow. But yeah, hopefully everybody can save, and then game week 10 will be very interesting.
Perfect. And I will see you next week.
See you next week.